Hello, it is August 17th, 2015. You're looking live at Athens, Georgia. It's episode 521 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I think you're spending part of your day with me. I'm here with Allison Furr. Now, as regular listeners of this podcast will know, ordinarily I do the intro to the podcast, and then I'm like, okay, this is obviously something I'm taping differently. The person that I'm introducing, that you know, unlike you, cannot just put the 15-second fast-forward button so you don't have to listen to this. They're not usually on the call. But Allison is here. Because of our audio issues of late, we are trying to fix those now. So she actually has to listen to this intro. So all the things that I usually say about Allison, everyone, I can't say them today because she's here. So hello, Allison.
Hello, Will. That's a wonderful introduction and one of the best ones I've had all week.
That's the thing. They're always wonderful. You're just usually not here for them. So I have to play nicer. But no, of course, everyone knows I have nothing but love for Ms. Furr here on the Furr and Leach podcast. How are you? Are you mirthful? Are you full of mirth? Do you have a mirthful disposition? What are you doing? You had all sorts of Astros fun this weekend.
I did. I don't know what mirth is, but I had a really fun time at the ballpark. Is that what it means? I'm very mirthful.
Yes, mirthful. Happiness. Happy, yes.
Happiness. Oh, I'm filled with joy and elation, and no, it was really a great weekend. At the ballpark, because they had the 2005 reunion of the only Astros team to ever win the pennant in club history. So it's nice to be able to, see everybody. And, of course, I was covering the team as a beat writer back then and just having loads of fun doing it. And so, time goes on and you do run into some people, but there's a lot of people that you just don't see. And then it was part of an entire Legends weekend. So they basically invite everybody that ever played for the team to come in, and they host them in their suite, which is a gigantic room down the right field line. And it was just all kinds of fun.
I saw some footage of that. Biggio looks, I mean, you see these guys all the time, but like Biggio to me looks exactly like he always looked.
Yeah.
Bagwell, not so much.
Yeah, he's changed a little bit. His hair's longer. We'll just say he's changed a little bit. But Biggio looks so young as a player. I remember when I first started working for the team, and he was about 31, I think, and he looked like he was about 22, and he didn't change. Like, his face did not change for many, many years. He's going to be 50 years old in December, and I would say that he has, defied nature in that way because he doesn't look anything close to that. But he keeps himself in great shape, and most of the guys look about the same. I mean, there's really, not a lot of changes. So they had, a lot of the infielders, so Mike Lamb, Morgan Ensberg, Adam Everett. They had a lot of pitchers, Brandon Backey, Roy Oswalt. I know I'm going to be missing some, Mike Gallo.
Did Lidge make it? Was Lidge there?
Brad Lidge came in. Yeah, he had an event with his son in the morning in Denver, and he flew out and he made it, not in time for the luncheon that they hosted on Saturday, but he was there for the pregame ceremony. And he's getting his master's degree in Roman archaeology, which just rolls off the tongue of all of us. He's just a fascinating guy. I just love him. He's one of my all-time favorites. So it was really cool. It was very cool. And everybody was with their families. And, it was a very tight-knit group back then. And so it was a little bit of like a high school reunion when you get everybody together. And it was just wonderful.
I feel like I always liked Biggio, and we've talked about Biggio a lot in this podcast before. I feel like he is the one person, I have a lot of, feel a lot of kinship with Craig Biggio, because he is a fellow person who can't grow facial hair guy.
Exactly.
And so I have a lot of sympathy for those guys. I was hoping, because he's 50, is that what you said? Biggio's about 50 now, maybe a little bit younger.
December, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm turning 40 in 2 months. And I've always kind of hoped that maybe in the 40s, that's when it's going to kick in and I'm going to be able to do it. But Biggio has not given me a lot of hope for that.
No, and it was funny because, back in the day when they were in the playoffs and they did the whole, grow the playoff beards like the hockey players do. And so it was just, and they wouldn't, shave anything. So, Brad Ausmus is just, it was all the way down his neck. And he was just, he had all this, he's got, great hair on the top of his head. So he was just hair everywhere. And there was just crazy beards being grown. This was before it was in style like it is now with those disgusting beards that all the players have. And little poor Craig, he'd just be like, I can, four hairs come out of my chin. And
so he wasn't even shaving to save himself the embarrassment.
I mean, he wrote a little patch on his chin, and then he's done. So, no, he was just, like, not participating at all. And, you know, I mean, you feel bad for the guy because I think he might have wanted to be able to do that along with everybody else, but it wasn't happening.
Yeah, like me, he's barely a mammal. I know exactly how that goes. So I think Villanueva, the old basketball player, I think he had that problem. So anyway, we don't need to talk about that. I want to talk about the Nationals. This is a full bore. We are now officially in complete and total collapse zone. They have lost six in a row. They are under 500. They're only a half game ahead of Arizona and, what, like two games ahead of San Diego? Like, it's completely fallen apart in a way that, you know, again, we've talked in the past about how this is a team people thought, how many games over 100 are they going to win? Obviously, that's gone a lot of ways. But it's not just the disappointment. This also is beginning to kind of feel like a like one of those former old school Mets collapses, like a where everything falls apart and everyone's angry with everyone, and it just all seems to be collapsing at once. You've been covering baseball on a closer basis for a longer time than me. When you see teams collapse like this, I still think Washington's winning the division because I don't buy that things are collapsing. I feel like talent wins out because I don't spend a lot of time in clubhouses. Do you think, like, is there just, when this, stuff like this happens, is this something that's just going wrong from within and people are sniping at each other? And is everyone angry because of the losing, or was there a problem that this losing is finally maybe the representation of, I guess?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. Let me say, first of all, that I have spent absolutely 0 minutes in the National
Club. I know. But you've seen teams like this that last before and so on.
But really, honestly, well, it kind of depends on who you have on the team when things like this happen. And so, you know, that's why I want to be really careful, because you can kind of, you know, you can make these sweeping generalizations about what kind of guy like Bryce Harper is, and maybe he's, like, completely different when he's in the clubhouse. But what happens is when there's expectations like that and the season starts off poorly, then there's really, you can kind of take it as it is. There's plenty of time. Nobody's panicking. When it happens this time of year, it's not good. And they have no momentum on their side. Now, let me say that I'm looking at their schedule, though, and they do have a very good chance they can right this ship in the next 2 weeks. They've got a road series at Colorado, and then they host the Brewers, the Padres, and the Marlins for a very long homestand. So, no, I don't think that they're out of it, and I don't think that they think they're out of it. But honestly, like, if they're going to be uptight about this, and it starts with the manager, and it goes on down, and it's how you handle it on a day-to-day basis. And if you are out there, if you come into the clubhouse, and, you know, it doesn't matter, like, what team it is. If you're losing, people are unhappy, and people start, you know, the tempers get a little bit short. And this is the time of year where it's hot. And it's just the losing is so much worse now than it is in April. And so it'll just be, you know, do they have the right guys to get them through this? Because really, truly, most people, like when you have the kind of leaders in any kind of group, they set the tone. If they get mad about something, then other guys find a way to get mad at the same thing. And it sounds juvenile and stupid, but it kind of is the way it works. It's like, I just remember when I covered the Astros, and they started that 2005 season 15 and 30. Every single day, Jeff Fagel would walk in the clubhouse, and you would have absolutely no idea how the team was doing, if it was good or bad. Phil Garner never changed a bit. I was laughing because that day that they were 15 and 30, he was complaining about something in the oil and gas industry that morning at Wrigley Field. He was just griping, and he wasn't even thinking about baseball. And so that permeates to other people. You know, Brad Ausmus, same way. So I honestly do not know what's going on in the Nationals clubhouse, but if this is a situation where you've got Bryce Harper and, you know, whoever are the leaders, Jason Worth, they're really setting the tone for how this is. If they're walking in and going, hey, fellas, it's all good. Let's play some crappy music and just get on with our day. That can change a lot. And, you know, Matt Williams, from what I'm hearing, really not taking this very, he's just a little bit high-strung guy, and that could be problematic.
Yeah, I feel like as a manager, he hasn't really been impressive from the beginning. When he kind of got after Harper, that was the weirdest thing when he first got managed. When he got after Harper for not hustling, which was weird because, like, listen, maybe you like Harper and maybe you don't, but nobody thinks he doesn't hustle. Like, it was like this weird thing. Like, if anything, he's like over the top and like annoyingly rosy about it. Like, not like Rosie O'Donnell, like Pete Rose. Though I think Rosie O'Donnell puts a lot of work actually into her profession. So she hustles as well. So I don't mean to imply that she does not. But anyway, the point is that Harper, like Williams, always I don't get it. Like I don't like get the Williams thing. He was kind of a bad, you know. Nashville fans were very furious with him. I think during the playoffs with sort of Hunter Strickland, he kept putting him out there and letting him give up home runs constantly. And it's weird because, you know, I used to joke that to the annoyance of some Nationals fans that, like, you know, it felt like the fan base had not, like, gotten kicked in the face yet. They hadn't had their, like, truly maturing moment to where they really felt, like, pain the way that a fan base really needs to feel. I think that happened in 2012, the Pete Cosman experience and all of that. Did all that, but you felt like that was going to move forward to them, and they were going to, like, build off of that, and they just haven't. And they really haven't. I mean, you're starting to look now. Strasburg's going to be, you know, a free agent, and they have to pay for him in a while. This team's getting expensive in a way, in the wrong way, I guess. And you're starting to wonder, like, you know, they had this great draft. They had the top two draft picks, and everything was working out perfect for them. And now you worry. And that said, I still think they're winning the division. I don't buy this clubhouse. Joe Posnanski wrote a really good piece for his site last week, arguing that the Drew Storen trade was actually, like, an example of how bad the Nationals organization is. Not that they're, like, it was a dumb trade, but the trade for Papelbon to come in and replace Drew Storen, this guy that they all love within the clubhouse. That's kind of why I brought up the clubhouse thing, because, like, if that could stir in negative things. He didn't have any, like, quoted saying that. It was just kind of a theory. But I still feel like this, like, the rotation is still the best. They still have these guys getting healthy. I still think they're better than the Mets, like I just do. And it's only 4.5. It's only 4.5 with two. With, you know, it's still more than a month and a half left. It feels like, because we're it's the middle of August, that the season is getting close to ending, but it's not actually. Yeah. We still have, like, a long way to go.
Well, and the thing is, like, are they coming to the ballpark, like, excited to play? Are they coming to the ballpark dreading what may happen that night? I mean, and you can't put a finger on this. You can't really wrap your mind around it, because there's no way to find that information out, and there's no way to really even get the guys to think about it or talk about it that way. And so, you know, it's just, I mean, I don't know what else more to say about it. I believe that you are correct in that they have a very, I'm not positive that they're going to win this division. But what I think about, you know, what I think about is the 2006 St. Louis Cardinals, by the way, that were absolutely cratering and imploding, and the Astros were winning every game, and the Cardinals were losing every game, and what was a 7 or 8 game difference with 2 weeks to go became like one game. And La Russa, you could tell, he was just like,
it was terrible. It was awful.
It was awful, and they won the World Series.
Yeah. Well, I mean, frankly, listen, if you brought up the Cardinals, who am I to stop you? But because, frankly, this time of the year in 2011, even. And 2006 was the worst team, I think, more of a surprise. But 2011, you know, at this point in the year, in fact, I think it was a couple weeks after this, I don't know if you remember this, but around mid to late August, there was a big question of, are the, because Lance Berkman, who had just signed with the Cardinals for that year, had passed through waivers. And so, because the Cardinals were like 10 games out, and the Rangers had an injury. Nelson Cruz got hurt. So they were like, so the idea was, hey, Berkman's going to come back to Texas. Will the Cardinals trade him? And they decided not to, not because they really needed Berkman, because they assumed that they were out of it. As much as it was, they wanted to keep the compensatory draft pick if he lost him next year. So the idea, and that was with a week more or less left in the season than we have now. I feel like this could be one of those things still, that when the Nationals take off in the playoffs, after they that they talk about this being this moment where everything was falling apart, and then they came back from it.
Yeah, I have a little less confidence that this is the group that can actually overcome and be able to look on it. I don't see the veteran core, like, being anything that I'm terribly impressed with. I could be absolutely wrong about this. Yeah. Because, again, I do not spend any time around them, but I do not see this as, you know, the guys that are going to get through and persevere. I see them, a lot of these guys, as kind of immature, and maybe can't handle the pressure. And I bring it back to April when they were scuffling right out of the gate, which doesn't matter. And it was like, you know, from the reports that you read, really kind of an unhappy place. And guys were a little stressed out about it. And I thought, ooh, what if this happens in August or September? And I think we're about to find out.
Yeah, that said, though, if the Mets were going to blow it, this is how they would do it. This is exactly how they would do it. They would get everyone feeling like, and for what it's worth, like, they got swept this weekend by Pittsburgh at home, which I think may just speak more to, like, Pittsburgh just unstoppable. And probably they have the second best record in baseball. I mean, even when the Cardinals just won 2 out of 3 from them, but I thought Cardinals won 2 out of 3 from Pittsburgh at home, and I felt like the Cardinals escaped with 2 out of 3 as opposed to, like, somehow put the Pirates in their place. So Pittsburgh is coming. The Cubs are coming. Everyone – but it just feels like, you know, this is the playoffs. 2006 is a great example. Last year is as good an example as you can possibly get in this. We are all caught up in this idea that the National League Central is so strong and the Dodgers are so strong, and it's – and, you know, the last 2 years – a random wildcard team came out of nowhere and won the whole thing. So,
and you know the philosophy on that is that they didn't have any time, they didn't have any downtime, they didn't have to wait for the playoffs to start. They had to keep winning. There's got to be something to that too.
So that brings me over to the American League wildcard, which is another thing I find absolutely fascinating, because it feels like I keep forgetting. I guess it's just a natural kind of narrative thing you do that, you know, at the trade deadline, Toronto makes these big moves. And the Angels and the Astros are fighting out for the NL West. And Kansas City set, and the Yankees and Toronto are fighting out. Like, I had forgotten that Texas was, like, still in the race. I'd forgotten that Minnesota was still in the race. And they are totally still in the race. Right now, assuming we don't know what happens, we're talking during the Royals-Angels game. But right now, as of right now, Texas is one game out of the wild card behind Baltimore. Baltimore, another team I'd forgotten about. Baltimore, one game behind Baltimore. Minnesota's a game and a half back. Tampa Bay is 2.5 back. If you want to be kind of silly, Detroit and Chicago and the White Sox are as far out of the wild card right now as the Nationals are behind the Mets, which is really kind of a crazy thing when you really think about it. And frankly, the Seattle and Cleveland are as far out of the wild card as the Cardinals are ahead of the Pirates. So, you know, it's more crammed than we kind of think. Now, obviously, their playoff odds are still low. There's a lot of teams to jump. But it is kind of weird to think that, you know, the trade deadline gives us this artificial notion that we're getting late in the year and things are starting to sort. But that they totally haven't. This is still completely insane. And these are all 500 teams or even below. My question for you is this. This is what we kind of talked about with the wild card, with the second wild card, that every team would still kind of be hanging around. If you are within 5 games of being of 500 right now, under 500, you're still in. Do you like this or not?
I don't mind that. Well, I don't like the fact that the American League just stinks. I mean, it's it makes me very, I don't know why it makes me mad. It makes me mad that the Pirates and the Cardinals are probably going to have to play each other to get into the playoffs. That makes me very angry. I feel that they should both be having equal opportunities to have an actual series and not a stupid one-game playoff. Okay. So when you and then
so you don't like the wild card. It doesn't sound like you like the wild card, getting the second wild card at all.
I don't mind the second wild card. I would just like it for it to be at least a 3-game series. I mean, this is not football, and let's stop trying to make it like it is football. And if your fifth starter happens to fall on that day, that is totally unfair. It's just, I hate the one-game playoff, like with every fiber of my being. I don't know if I hate that more than I hate the All-Star game determining World Series home field advantage. I get equally angry, and my face gets red, and I tend to get a little mean when I talk about it, so I don't think I want to go there.
Oh,
but
good. Come on, mean is good.
It's like the most ridiculous thing. It's the most important thing that you can have, or game 6 and 7 at home, but okay. So we'll have this ridiculous All-Star game that means nothing, determine it. Okay, so that's a problem. But, yeah, if you're 5 or 6 games under 500, and, like, I'm looking at Detroit right now, and they have an awful bullpen, and there's absolutely no way that they could possibly compete for a playoff spot, and they're 4.5 games out of the wild card, like, I don't consider them contenders. Like, I think that's going to, you know, everything's going to fix itself in that way. So the fact that having the extra team be in it, I love that there's like all these teams and their fan bases that feel like there's still hope because of that second wild card. I think that's fantastic. But the American League is just like, wow, like let's see who can play the least worst to get into the playoffs. That's kind of how I feel like it's going right now. And I'm just not impressed.
Yeah. It's worth noting that a good example being Minnesota. Minnesota is one game over 500. They're a game and a half out of the wild card. If they were in the National League, they would be 9 games behind the Cubs for the second spot, and five games behind San Francisco for who's actually still ahead of them. So yeah, obvious. But you know, on the other hand, again, you know, not to bring up the 2006 Cardinals again, but like that is Like, all you got to do is get in. This is what we incentivize now. And I love that you brought the thing about football, because this is one of my things that I will confess. I feel like perhaps late in Bud Selig's run as commissioner, it seemed like there was a lot of, oh, man, football's got TV ratings. Oh, we got to start being more like football. And to me, one thing I actually kind of like now is some things that I thought were going to be like football, like the clock, like the game of pace thing, have actually been fine. They've been less obtrusive. But there is still this notion of, you're right, a one-game playoff, it's like, it's almost absurd in football. In baseball, it's absolutely. But I guess that's the thing. If you add this, to have a three-game series would be nice. But you know, I mean, the World Series is already going into early November this year.
Oh yeah, I don't want the. I'd like to see the regular season shortened.
Yeah, would you like that? You would like
it? Oh, absolutely. It could happen.
I think it could happen. I think it actually could happen. I don't want it to, though, but that's just me being selfish, because I just want to watch baseball all the time.
Well, I mean, it would be unfortunate in that the records, I don't know, they'll be less, you won't be able to break records as much, and so that's kind of a bummer. But, no, I think that I do like that. I think it'll keep the players healthier. I think it's just a better schedule, from a player standpoint. But, yes, I just can't imagine. Like, everyone, when this second wild card came up, and everyone was like, well, if you want to not play in that playoff game, that one-game playoff, then just win the division. As if you're, like, we're going to punish the Pirates for probably winning 94 games this year. And, well, you know what, Pittsburgh, you should have won 96. I mean, I just don't understand. I mean, you have this fantastic season, that it should just be, it's just not fair. It's just not the way that baseball is. It's not the way that it works throughout the season. The ebb and flow of the season, it's not right. And so it bothers me that I'm looking at the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Chicago Cubs and these wonderful records, and the fact is that one of them is only going to play one game and they're going to be done. I think that's wrong.
Of course, this is the progression of real purists would argue this was the inevitable road we started going down when we had in 1969, when we shifted into divisions. Like, there was a time where, you know, if you finished first, like, teams would win 103 games and not make the postseason because the team in their league won 104. Like, in a lot of ways, it inherently, the only way that's truly fair is if there's just no postseason. It's like soccer, where they're like, okay, well, at the end of the year, the team that won the most games is the champ. But we don't do that because the playoffs are really fun. So to me, like, you know, that's where what you try to balance. And I feel like generally it's okay. I hated the second wild card. Joe Sheehan had me raging against the second wild card before it started happening, for that same idea that you're upset about too. And you're right to be upset about, is the idea of a one game playoff. It's just absurd. It doesn't make any sense. But if we're going to have divisions, and we are, like, if we're going to have divisions and we're going to have pennant chases, which is what we want to be exciting in September, you have to have stakes. And it's not fair to Pittsburgh, and it's not fair to the Cubs, but you have to have stakes. Otherwise, if you just have the teams with the four best records make it, then why do we have divisions? Why do we have geographical rivalries? Why do we have, like, this is, I hated it too, but it feels like I can't think of any other way to do it. I mean, I wish there were a three-game series, but again, you're into November. And personally, maybe 154 games does it, but that really just pushes you a week. I would like just let the players take the greenies again. And then they wouldn't be so tired in one by the end of the year. That's another argument.
It's hilarious, but that is basically why if a 154-game season comes back.
It's because of that. Right.
It's because of that. And, I mean, it's, you know, you don't really want to talk about it. It's kind of a taboo subject. But I was just telling someone, I think yesterday, like, greenies was not an emergence from the steroid era. Greenies have been around since the 40s, the 50s, whatever.
Hank Aaron took greenies. Hank Aaron openly talked about doing greenies.
Yeah.
I don't feel like anything Hank Aaron done. I mean, I don't think anything Barry Bonds has done has been devalued. But let's not have that discussion. I certainly don't think that anything Hank Aaron has ever done is somehow devalued because he took greenies.
No, I don't. I don't think I ever had a problem with greenies.
Right. I don't either. We're riots, man. We have to take this stuff all the time to get anything done. Let the players do it.
It's, I mean, really, truly. And if you talk about in the 40s and 50s, I mean, the travel was different. They had a lot of day games. They didn't travel much west of the Mississippi. I mean, there was all kinds of ways that it was much more conducive to the human body. to play baseball for that long. And now it's like, you know, you have all these night games, you have all these TV games, the travel is brutal, you're going coast to coast, and it really, it wears on these guys. And, you know, and the public doesn't want to hear that because these guys are making millions of dollars. But what it comes down to is the quality of baseball. I think that they're just trying to, you know, increase the quality of baseball by having guys stay healthy, keeping them on the field, and making it more conducive to get through a six-month season. Of course, they have all this extra spring training game. It's just insane what these players are expected to do over the course of 7.5 months. And so that's, if the 154-game season comes about, it's going to be because of those little greenies.
Yeah, I love, I'm generally, across the board, a big fan of fans complaining about things. I always hate it when people are like, don't boo, go out there and show your support. No, boo them. If you want to boo them, boom, go ahead, you paid your ticket, you get a right to do that. But right. One of the dumber things that fans do say is when they say things like that, like, oh, well, these guys make all this money, they shouldn't be able to complain about anything, they should just be go out and play. Well, yeah, and that first off, you actually don't hear them complain all that often, and but they probably should, because the reason that we want them to be fresh is not because oh, they have to show off how they're not wimps. It's because you want the game to be great. You
right.
want the game to be of high quality, and listen, as far as I'm concerned, you're right. I think it is a shame, because I think you're exactly right. That's why it's going to go to the 154 game, is because, but the thing is, if they go 154, sadly, to bring this conversation full circle, I do not think that will lead to a three-game wild card. I think we may be stuck with a 50-50 wild card.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I'm with you. I just don't see any other way to fix it. And I consider it something, while I don't like it, I think I dislike it just as much as you do, I feel like it is something that you have to have. It is frankly worth it to have these kind of finishes.
So the old way was just unacceptable. You see that as like completely unacceptable to have one wild card and without any penalty for being a wild card.
It's unacceptable. I was fine with it. I was fine with it. In fact, I did not like it when they added this second wild card. But now that they've done it, I see its appeal, and I've kind of fallen for it a little bit. I've fallen for it in spite of the ugliness of that game and in spite of how not really that fair it is to the first wildcard team, because frankly, I'm sorry, I do feel bad for that first wildcard team. The Cardinals have been that first wildcard team. I do feel bad for that team, but I think it's worth it for the fact that Rangers fans have something a little bit more to watch right now. That Rays fans do, I guess.
That part is, there's no doubt about it. That part is awesome, that there are more teams in it. I have no problem with that at all.
And there's no conversation happening. If right now there's only one wild card, first off, forget about anything, the Cubs, like that 9-game win streak they just had would just be survive at
right.
this point if there wasn't a second wild card. To me, that would be truly unfair. And it would be very glorious for me. It would make me happy, but it would be very unfair to the Cubs if they had this team that now I think they have. They're 18 games over 500, the fourth best record in baseball. If there weren't a second wild card, forget the 1-game playoff. They would not even be that. So, and in the American League, obviously, it's so ugly that I just feel like overall, the more teams and the more fans that have something to be invested in, it's another reason why that last game of the season, where they're doing all the games at 3:00 hockey style.
Oh.
So they're doing that?
Are they doing that?
The last game of the year, Sunday, all games start at 3 p.m. Eastern.
And why is this?
Because it's just like hockey. Hockey's always done this. All the games start at the same time. Everybody plays the last game of the year, last day of the year, and all the games start at the same time. I think they all start.
Oh, so they moved them back or up or whatever to
yeah,
3 so that the West Coast teams aren't playing at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. And everybody can all play at once. That way, we could all, it's just, this, they're really trying to recreate what they had at the end of 2011, that last day of the year. It was just so awesome, of course. And I happened to be at Foley's in New York, the great baseball bar, when that happened. So, everybody, y'all, I just happened to be, I was with some Cardinals fans, and it was to have all of those games going on at once. Everyone just got, nosebleeds from overstimulation. It was really wonderful. So they're trying to recreate that. And so I think that's fantastic, because I just hope there's some sort of race. Any race going on, there's got to be one. Within one game, to have all those teams playing at once, it just feels like it's going to be a blast. So to me, that makes it worth it, even if the 1-game wild card is a travesty. I certainly don't disagree with you.
No, Okay. I'm glad we see eye to eye on that, Will.
Exactly. We have something. We have something. We both hate this thing. I'm just willing to, I'm willing to accept it because I have to say you are better. I will close with this. You are much better at being angry than I am.
Yeah, I'm very good at being angry. I'm expressing myself.
Yeah, no, I hope you don't take that as insult. That's actually something I actually find myself envious of. I'm really bad at getting angry. I always just give it up. I'm like, whatever. It's in 90 years, we're all going to be dead anyway.
I can't say whatever to the All-Star Game home field advantage thing. It just makes me insane. History will show. I mean, look at everyone's home and road records. Like, you win more at home.
I know. I'm with you. It's very stupid.
And then we're going to have 8 Royals in the starting lineup. Okay, let's move on.
I see, this is what I mean. You're so much better. You're better at I'm always like, yeah, that thing's terrible. Eh, what are you going to do? And which makes me feel like I lack conviction. And you have conviction. I have many, many things I admire about you, Allison. Now, next week, we're going to have to figure out something for next week because I'm going to Arizona next week, and I'm making a yearly trip with my father so to see the Cardinals play a road trip. Arizona is one of the 5 teams left I have not seen, so we're going to knock that off next week. But we'll figure out time to tape if your schedule works out. But mostly, I'm glad we're back on our regular schedule. I hope the sound is sounding. You are always able to hear me. So in the past, I think people have been – they've had really the best possible way to have this podcast, which is that they can hear you clearly and not me at all.
Oh, I see.
That's what's been happening. So now we're trying to fix that, though I'm not sure why. This should just be you anyway. So anyway, Allison, so thank you for rambling with me. Where are you going this week? Are you home? You have no travel this week?
I am home watching the Houston Astros play a, 10-game homestand. So the Rays are coming in town, and then the Dodgers next weekend.
Oh, wow. Dodgers-Astros will be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be great. Ben Scully pointed out in his broadcast today, Molly Knight mentioned this on Twitter, that Ben Scully pointed out that it was, 100 degrees today at Dodger Stadium or wherever they were playing. And Jack Greinke, not a single hair was out of place.
He not only has
a glorious hair, but it defies even what your typical hair care products can.
A lot of these guys should probably enjoy it while they can.
Yes, yes, yeah. But let's not talk about Jeff Bagwell anymore. I guess it's not so much the hair with him, but
actually, I say the 2005 Astros have maintained
the follicles.
Doing well, follically, yeah.
That's true.
I'm running through the roster right now, but I don't think anybody's lost anything. So good for them.
I guess good for them. All right. Well, thank you, Allison. We'll talk next week. As always, but seriously, thanks for playing around with me.
Okay. Thank you, Will.
Everyone, follow Allison on Twitter, of course, at Allison Footer, AllisonFooter. And of course, find her work at MLB.com. But you know that because you listen to this every Monday. This is the Willis Experience Podcast. Footer and Leech Edition, the music is by the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes. We will be back this week, actually, with an extra podcast with Mike Petrillo. He is the guy that runs the StatCast podcast here on MLB.com. I'm going to ask him a million questions about Randall Grichuk. I will talk to him and you and all of you guys later. Be safe.